Welcome back. You're listening to a special program, KBBF's Candidate Forum. And I found out that we are the last forum before the election of March 3rd. I want to remind folks that you got to vote on March 3rd. It's our primary, as well as we're electing new supervisors, or renewing supervisors here in our community. And also remember, if you don't vote, guess what? Your vote doesn't count. Anyway, without further ado, I want to bring Supervisor Susan Gorin on the phone. Welcome, Susan. Welcome to the forum.
Oh, thank you, Elaine, once again. It seems like a tradition with us. For every election, we get together and talk about the important issues.
I know. It's really amazing. I can't, talked with Linda Hopkins, I thought to myself, my goodness, I remember when she was sitting across from me. Now, the supervisor, is it a 2 or 4 year form, all of this contract? I found all of a sudden my mind went blank.
It's a 4 year term.
4 year.
So I've served for 2 wonderful years, engaging with the voters at every opportunity, and it took me a while to make a decision, but there were important issues that I needed to continue to work on. So here I am running for the 3rd and last 4-year term.
Well, tell us, let's start out by just telling us a little bit about you, you know, a little bit of background. And I remember the first time that I met you was when you were sitting on the Santa Rosa City Council. I'll never forget that day. And we've been talking to each other ever since. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, what motivates you? What motivating you to run the third time? And just what is a little bit about your background?
I moved here in 1982 with 2 young daughters, and my husband was transferred to HP here in Sonoma County, and it's been a love affair ever since. We grew up in Pennsylvania. We were high school sweethearts, and yes, we're still married. 2 wonderful adult daughters, and now 2 adorable little munchkins, 2.5 and 4.5. And really what inspires me to continue to run is their futures. I think there are important decisions ahead of us regarding climate change and fire recovery, and advocacy for more resilient future, as well as housing, homelessness, roads. There are such important issues that I want to continue to work on. But I've served Santa Rosa as a Santa Rosa school board member first, planning commissioner, board of public utility member, council member, mayor, and I was getting ready to sort of think about the next phase of life when people came to me and said, could you please run for supervisor? And if there was any other job that I would consider, it would be supervisor, because of the strong connection with health and human services. I love being a council member and a mayor, really focusing on public safety and roads and building affordable housing. But the county is the dispenser and the partner of so many community organizations providing essential health and human services. Cradle to career, adult and aging, adult protective services, and now very important discussions regarding housing and homelessness. And I think that's one of the topics of conversation. So I'm anxious to answer your question, Elaine.
Well, that's the first question, actually. What are some of the things you are most proud of in relation to the homeless situation? And if elected again for another term, what will your priorities be? And what do you think is important in order to move forward?
I've been passionate and working towards homeless solutions for a very, very long time, certainly in the private sector, but then as mayor of Santa Rosa, working with all of the service providers in the West End neighborhood, trying to make a difference, bringing them together, perhaps finding a day service center. And we're successful to some extent. We've actually had a decrease in the number of homeless individuals in our community over the past 5 years. And I think that speaks to the success of the collaboration with the cities and the county and our great service providers. But the needs have overwhelmed us recently. I wouldn't be surprised to discover that our homeless numbers have ticked up a little bit. There are many, many reasons for homelessness. Certainly the cost of housing, the lack of affordable housing, the inadequate shelter system. Our veterans, our poor struggling veterans coming home from decades of war with PTSD and mental health and substance abuse issues. Our foster care children without the family support. Women and children escaping abusive relationships. There are many, many reasons. And we're seeing that our homeless individuals are more visible now than they've ever been. I have been working with Supervisor Hopkins on a new kind of decision-making body for the county. It's called the Home Leadership Council. I'm not sure whether she talked about that. Two representatives from the Board of Supervisors, two representatives from the City Council, Gabe Kearney from the City of Petaluma, and service providers. And this is the group that allocates the funding that then comes from the state. We've identified ourselves now as a new continuum of care. We work with our service providers and other people in the community to evaluate proposals for funding from the HEAP funding and the HHAP funding, and make those recommendations to expand and support homeless outreach services, expand homeless shelters, emergency winter shelters, permanent supportive housing, and transitional housing. It's really important work, and I think that is the work that I'm most proud of, bringing together cities, county, and service providers to make the best decisions to meet the needs for our homeless individuals. We heard from the governor recently, this is a state priority, and well, it should be. California is the state that has huge homeless population in our urban areas, and Santa Rosa and Sonoma County ranks right up there. I think really because of the cost of housing and lack of affordable alternatives, but also remember that we lost over 5,300 homes and housing units in the fires 3 years ago, and we have not recovered from the fires yet. So I'm anxious to continue to create the solutions. Obviously, we are trying a very novel solution in Sonoma County, and that is the emergency temporary outdoor shelter. That was placed, I think, in the wrong location because it's far removed from services and transportation. But we will have another opportunity on March 10th to look at maybe 10 to 12 additional sites to locate the longer-term indoor-outdoor shelters, I think primarily in the center of Santa Rosa. But recognize, and then we will have an opportunity for public outreach, which we didn't have before. I think that's very important. And also looking at the needs of our homeless population around and throughout the county, we have a increasing number of homeless individuals in Sonoma Valley for a lot of different reasons. We have a shelter that is tiny and struggling to provide services with its very tiny budget, great people. And I think it's time to really think through the kind of services that we provide in Sonoma Valley. I've committed to Mayor Harvey to participate in trying to find a location for an expanded shelter, but also safe parking services in Sonoma Valley.
Well, that seems,
we can do it, but it will take all of us working together.
It seems like a big, big issue for sure. Let's go on to the second question here. You know, I know this is something that is pretty close to your heart around the climate emergency resolution that was just passed. What action are you planning to support and implement to help the county move this resolution forward? And what is your timetable? And I think, you know, in asking this question, for me, I am really impressed with the way the community has. There's a group called SoCan Sonoma that's putting on this this summit called It's Up to Us, the resolution. So tell us, what do you support that, and what things are you planning to help move it forward?
I find so much inspiration from our young people here in Sonoma County and across the globe. we remember Greta Thunberg coming and shaming us all about our lack of activism around this issue. And, well, we should be. We need to take this seriously because we're looking at a much different future for our youth than what we were able to enjoy. I think it's up to us, all of us, both our youth and our elders and everybody in between, to get serious about climate change. I serve as the chair of the Regional Climate Protection Authority this year and also chair of the Board of Supervisors. And I've been working with Supervisor Hopkins, our vice chair, on directions forward. And we have, I delivered my State of the County message talking about the imperative of climate change. We have the solutions. It just takes dedicated action and really thoughtful deliberation on how we can change our business practices, our economic models, and even our personal lives. So we're starting small. I've appointed an ad hoc committee at the county, including Supervisor Hopkins and myself. We're working with a small group of people at the moment to structure the movement forward. But I've already started meeting with various community organizations and departments and agencies in Sonoma County to pick their brains about what we could be, should be doing. And it's time to come together, formalize those discussions, develop a structure, and then look to outreach to the community with some of our premier climate organizations like Sonoma Ecology Center and BCAI, the Climate Center, certainly Daily Acts, to involve as many community people as possible to agree on priorities. What is achievable? What can we do? And what do we need to do to outreach to more folks and in industries and businesses in our community to understand why we take this subject very, very seriously? People suggest that we have passed the tipping point, that we have 10 years to solve this. I'm a little bit more optimistic than that, but I absolutely understand and agree with the passion regarding the imperative of climate change. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running for re-election for our kids and our community and our planet.
Well, you know, it's so interesting, Susan. I'm thinking of having a in April for Earth Day, we're going to be looking at maybe doing a one-woman show with a woman by the name of Lilith Rogers on Rachel Carson's life. And it's hard to believe that she's written that book over 50 years ago.
And we're still. And I grew up during the 60s and the 70s when the environmental movement found inspiration from Silent Spring and carried that message forward.
Well, let's go to the third. Boy, time, I'll tell you, radio time is crazy. There is an initiative, that folks hope to get on the ballot in November, the Evelyn Cheatham Ordinance to repeal and replace Article 27 of the Sonoma County Code, establishing the Independent Office of Law Enforcement and Review and Outreach, which they call ALERA, which I know you are very familiar with. The proposed ordinance would expand the oversight authority and independence of ALERA to review and analyze. Is also the coroner, and would also include and expand the Community Advisory Council, the CAC, currently appointed by the ALERA director. I would like you to explain your position, and also I have a big problem with the idea that the director, and I've said this over and over to all the candidates, you know, I'm a retired executive, and of course I'm going to hire people that, you know, agree with me. I mean, but when the supervisor appoints it, it's usually a different attitude. You know, everyone has their own agendas. So answer that question. What do you think of the agenda, initiative? Do you support it, and what is your position?
First of all, I think that this is a very important community discussion, and I'm so inspired that this initiative is named after a dear friend of mine, Evelyn Cheatham. She served as the chair of CAIE, which the board appointed after the tragic death of Andy Lopez. And they were supposed to have a short mission, but instead they took their time in really being very thoughtful and making recommendations to the county. And I was so pleased that we were able to set up the first office, Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, IOLERO, which is a bit of a mouthful. And we hired Jerry Treat to be our first director. And we appointed folks from the community to serve on the Community Advisory Council. I've been absolutely supportive of, first of all, the independence of that office. I've been supportive of the additional funding that would hire additional staffing that would really focus on community outreach. And I was hopeful that this review body could have the independence and yet develop the relationship with the sheriff's office to form, to make recommendations on various policies that the IOLERA wants to weigh in on. And it would be a true partnership to actually adopt those recommendations and change the policies. Sadly, that was not the case. There seemed to be a lot of tension between the former director and the sheriff. The director retired or resigned, and we hired someone new. And it's taken, I think, much too long to get the Community Advisory Committee up and running and focused on community outreach. The board has had long conversations with her, and I have great respect for her, but I'm disappointed that there hasn't been a more aggressive community outreach from this office. I think, although I haven't gone word for word through the ordinance that is being proposed, I intend to do that, but I think it's important for the community to know that I absolutely support the independence of the office. And an essential part of that office is community outreach.
Well, the public never goes to the poll, you know, tries to do. I mean, they have to collect all these signatures unless there's a lot of a frustration. But we're running out of time, and I want to get to the last question. You know, talking with people, one of the concerns they have that it's very hard to make appointments, to have any kind of communication with supervisors, and then there's also that new time constraint on public comment. I believe it's only 2 minutes. And I would like to know what's your thought on that, and how are you going to work to have to be more accountable in a way, and more visible, more able to make contact with the public?
Well, first of all, I've always been a huge supporter of public comment time on every agenda item, as well as items not on the agenda. The public comment time usually is 3 minutes, unless we have a jam-packed agenda and we have cards and cards and cards. And then I do have to limit the public comment time.
Susan, but I'm sorry that I'm going to have to cut you off, because we're coming to the end of our time here. So, is there any last words? I mean, that was the problem with the telephone. I knew this was going to be a little bit of an issue. So, can you?
Well, vote for Susan Gorin on March 3rd, because I have more important work to do. I have, my cell phone number is 707-321-2788. Always call me at my office. I do return phone calls, and you can email me personally through my campaign or through my office. Constituent response is my number one priority.
Well, thank you so much, Susan Gorin, for being on for being on the forum, and for talking, and for all your ideas. And I want to wish you much success on your upcoming election.
Thank you once again, Elaine.
Well, that's it for the KBBF Forum, and I want to thank the candidates for doing such great interviews. A reminder, get your absentee ballots in, and above all, vote, vote, vote. A special shout-out to Sandy Reynolds, Debbie McKay, Kathleen Riley, Shakina Black, Women Power, all of you that got the word out. This is Elaine B. Holtz reminding you that our children are the future.
Everybody. You matter.